How's your view on this issue evolved over the last couple of years? I seem to recall last time I talked to you, you were a little bit cool about the idea of rituximab maintenance.
Well, it's been influenced by the data. I still think that in a patient who receives single-agent rituximab, we don't have clear evidence that there's an unequivocal superiority to the maintenance. In fact, the only randomized data we have, which is a randomized phase two, so it's a little bit hard to draw a lot of conclusions, but the John Hainsworth study, we know that rituximab maintenance gives us the same time to rituximab resistance as retreatment when necessary in that smaller study. Now, the resort is going to test that in a much bigger way. So in those patients with a lower disease burden who might just get 4 weeks of rituximab, I often address the issue of maintenance with my patients based on, I give them the data, but I will tell you that they split into two groups. Those patients who don't want to have any disease in their body, they opt to have the maintenance. But those patients who like, you know, doc, I'll call you if there's a problem, they opt not to have the maintenance. I think the group where I feel the data is a little bit more solid and I think it is more appropriate is in the patient with more bulk when they present, when they need rituximab and chemotherapy. And it's not just giving more rituximab, it's you're getting an induction with rituximab and chemotherapy and then following with rituximab maintenance. I think those two patient populations are different. And I am certainly more apt to recommend to a lot of my patients to get maintenance rituximab in that setting. However, even there, I'm waiting, just like everyone else, for the definitive data that it's the right thing to do.